Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
At the last meeting, it was tabled for 60 days with the recommendation that my client reach out to their neighbors who we've all heard from. We've had a town hall since then. We had a list of 12 neighbors to reach out to. We have done that. There was a Miss Amy Hines, who is a concerned neighbor. We've spoken to Miss Hines. Miss Hines is here to speak tonight. She's now in support of the project. So we've given the concerned neighbors the information they've asked.
All right, so this is the Escambia County Commission meeting, and they were talking about the Delta concrete crushing operation that, if you don't know, it had been on the sort of the south side of I-10 on Old Palafox, just barely over the bridge. And because of the massive reconstruction project that's going on at I-10 and US 29, in case you're not familiar, the interstate interchange there that you would look at and be like, now, who was drunk when they designed this? which historically had the on-ramp of total despair, which they've recently turned into the on-ramp of mild despair, you know, and they've changed all the lane alignments, right? Like, you know, I mean, when have you ever in your entire life on-ramped onto an interstate on the left-hand side, right? I mean, yeah. This is not normal design standards, okay? It's a crazy intersection.
They want you to pray when you get on the highway.
Oh, man.
It's awful.
And I don't know.
It's so scary.
You know, if you've not driven it and you don't know it, like David's dying over there, Candy knows exactly. Like anybody who's driven that, you're like, what in the, you know, like how did this happen? Okay, so FDOT is putting on a major redesign of that whole interchange. Guess the price tag, Candy. Just take a stab.
To FDOT for that whole interchange?
Yeah, we're reworking US 29 and I-10. The interchange, it's not going to become a normal cloverleaf. It's still, can I just say this, that even the redesign is still pretty, you know, it's not great, but
I seriously remember, because we used to have to get on the interstate, because I worked at TK right there, and there was like, yep. I had to go to a shrink.
It's terrifying.
Like, it scared me. Yeah. I'm serious.
If you've ever come into the left-hand lane of an interstate with no, there used to not be a separate lane for the merge. It used to just kind of be, here you go, big boy, try
it. I know.
And
God
so you
bless.
Got a semi coming at you at 75 miles an hour.
Yeah,
like,
so you keep rosary beads on your mirror,
right.
Even if you're not Catholic.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. And
so price tag of the whole redesign.
You know, I don't know.
Take
eggs
a
are
blind
expensive.
Stab.
$100,000. I don't know.
Sorry,
how much
I love you
stuff.
So much.
I know. I'm an
$250
idiot.
Million. I'm not kidding.
It's
241, I think. Yeah. No, a quarter
of a
billion.
So a quarter of a billion dollars to do that interchange?
The 3-mile bridge.
I'll keep the rosary bits.
Was $400 million. Now, it's a little more than that, but, you know, because of some of the mistakes. But at $400 million for the entire bridge, and it's $241 million to
redo this interchange?
That's exactly right. And it's still not going to be right. Okay, when they get...
Well, can they use the concrete from those people?
Yeah, we'll get to that. No, but I've digressed so much from the main thing that I probably ought to tell you the share of this. You know how when you're at I-10 and 29, you know how you kind of... There's a big bubble in the middle. Like, when you're driving, you go way to the right, and then you come back to the left on both sides. You know, it kind of bends out. It's going to go straight through like a normal interstate. It's just going to be straight. And instead of the on-ramps coming up on the inside... East and westbound from, if you're going, you know, south to north on US 29, you come, they'll be on the outside, but they're going to be long, bendy, wind-around ramps. You're not going to have that little 270-degree exit when you're going east, eastbound on 10 to northbound 29. The ones westbound on 10 are going to stay the same, roughly. The one that's going to change quite a bit is if you're going east on 10, you're getting off on 29. It's going to basically be like you're going to Avalon, you're going to 87. You're going to come down and then either turn left or right at a light there, at like north of Diamondary. And Diamondary, you'll be able to actually go straight across and get onto the on-ramp onto the interstate, which you can't do right now. Anyway, it's hard to grasp the changes unless you kind of see a video of it. But yeah, they've been working on this for years. And the reason it's on my brain is because the Transportation Planning Organization had their meeting yesterday, and they funded a cost increase to this project, which is now at $241,255,554 to do one interchange redesign. It's amazing to me, the price. Okay, but that's just so you, and also widening. They're widening I-10 there to six lanes, just kind of, which is going to go all the way to past the Welcome Center with the project that Governor DeSantis funded that includes that diverging diamond interchange at the 9 Mile overpass. So anyway, just that's a backdrop. Part of this project is they had to acquire a lot of right-of-way. You know, it takes more space to do what they're doing. Part of the byproduct of that is that the Delta Concrete Crushing Facility had gotten eminent domained out of existence. He didn't want to sell. They said, tough. And so they took it, which there haven't been a lot of people lose property over this, but a couple. There's a couple in a the little subdivision at the very end, backseat middle on the hump behind West Florida High School. They lost some of their property. Anyway, so they had to move. And the proposal was to move the concrete crushing facility over to just off of Burgess. Well, actually on Burgess, but west of Old Palafox. So they're moving like, you know, I don't know, 1,000 feet or something. Like, it's a very small distance change. But in order to get the approval to operate a concrete crushing facility, you got to go kneel and beg at the county commission, which is how this works. And the county commission, typically, as particularly Lumen May, hates these kinds of things. I mean, it doesn't hate him, but he's got to support, like, the Wedgwood community and the people who believe that it's all, you know, air pollution and soil pollution and everybody gets harmed because they live in poor black neighborhoods where these things historically have been bad. And so they were supposed to have a meeting with the residents and assuage their concerns. That meeting didn't go great. the facility, the operation is fine. It's actually going to be on a larger footprint of land. It's going to be farther away from any houses than it had been before. It's a better site. There's grass when there was only dust before. It's all better, but it's slightly different residents, right? It's people, you know, it wasn't in my front yard before. This is not a NIMBY problem. This is a NIMFY problem. This is not in my front yard because there are people who live on the north side of Burgess looking at it. There's people who live on the other side of Palafox looking at it. And basically, some of the people who showed up at the meeting were like, I was against it, now I'm for it.
Jeff Godwin, who has been most hospitable to myself, my neighbors, giving me a full tour, knowledge, explanation. I'm so much more comfortable now representing for my 12 neighbors who could not be here tonight.
That's Amy Hines. She's on board. She lives off of Pinestead. That's on the east side of the project. Sue Woodson said she had lots of questions before, but she doesn't anymore. She's good with the project. Robert Hurst showed up and he said, you know, look, this is a good project. He's a good guy, whatever. And then, you know, Pat Green, who had been the resident who was very angriest before, she's, if you remember me talking about this before, she's the one that says she basically lives on her front porch and she sees everything that happens and she's not happy about what she feels she's been lied to about regarding this whole process.
We live directly across from where Delta's coming in. I just heard him say that they talk to neighbors. It's four houses on the property, owned houses. He has not reached out to any of us to have a talk. We have issues because there's a paint and body shop right beside him, fumes coming. There's a Swift Lumber Company behind us, dust comes. And we have a problem with him because y'all told him not to work until today. Trucks has been going in and out with rocks on them. I'm home all the time and I see with these eyes what's going on. So no, we don't need any more dust or rocks dropped on the road. And I hope that y'all take into consideration, if he went house to house, he didn't come to four houses right across the street from you.
Now, he did talk with them at the town hall pretty extensively, so I don't know whether he's met with them or not. It seemed later in the meeting like he was indicating that he had. In case you're wondering, the trucks going in and out are because they got thrown out of their old facility. They thought they had a couple of months, and FDOT said 2 weeks ago. And so they basically had to move just their stockpile of stuff into the new facility. They're not doing crushing there, but they moved it anyway. So a lot of the same concerns that you typically hear raised, you know, this silica dust is going to be dangerous. It travels. It's tiny. It gets in the air. Well, they've got all kinds of suppression technology. Noise is not really an issue. It's all, you know, contained. It's not loud. They have rules about the size of the matter and test, and they don't do it in the wind when there's windy conditions. So, you know, the residents who are against are raising all of these health concerns that, in my non-expert judgment, I don't think are that serious. This is, like, I mean, not that far from my house. I mean, I'm not as close as these people, but it's not that far. And so, you know, it's vaguely in my neighborhood. And but then you've got this basic problem of Lumen May, who is the chairman of the board. It's his district, and he has a lot of people in his area that are really angry all the time about things like, you know, dumps and crushing and dig pits and all that stuff for good reasons. Wedgwood was a catastrophe. But still, he's kind of always got to take their side, generally speaking. So when Chips Kirschenfeld, the I think he's the assistant county minister now, but he's kind of used to be over in environmental stuff. And, you know, he says, look, this tiny particulate matter, you can't completely contain it. It can travel. We get stuff, some of it from Africa, you know, which is just kind of gets in the air and goes. But he says maybe we could do a temporary permit and then monitor it. And so then Lumen just basically got this, I just don't know what to do kind of response to all of this.
I'm uncomfortable tonight denying this, and I'm uncomfortable approving this.
Because the experts are telling him it's okay, sort of. Many of the residents are in favor of it, even though they're close by. And then some of the residents are against it. And so he feels, you know, kind of torn. And so he says, look, Jeff Godwin's done, he's the owner, has done what we told him to do, but still here we are. And so he wants to push it back for 30 days, give him another 30 days to educate the people. And then at that point, there will be no more excuse from them that they don't know, you know, what's going on. And so it's just kind of like, again, kick the can down the road. Well, what the attorney and what Robert Bender and Horace Jones had kind of come up with was sort of the suggestion that, well, what if we do a short term? Like, what if we let them operate for 90 days and then see how it goes? Because they can deny it after 90 days. They can say go for 90 days and then shut the thing down. And their attorney's like, yes, please, because they've been without income since, you know, like February. They haven't been able to operate. And they're losing money constantly because, you know, they've got a business that is basically in shutdown condition. So they kind of go back and forth. The various commissioners discuss this. And it was kind of one of these, like, I thought they were really close to doing good governance. They were really close to doing, we're going to let you operate for 90 days. We'll see how it goes. You go for 90 days, and if the residents hate it, well, we can talk about that. If the residents are fine with it, that obviously solves our problem. But instead of doing that, which I think would have been really good governance kind of thread-the-needle solution, they went instead 3-2 vote. So Barry, May, and Burgash voted with what Lumen wanted to do, which was to put it off for 30 days and then consider the approval for 1 year. That's how they do these things. It's for a one-year approval. So they got to wait again because they were eminent domained out of existence by FDOT. They are once again completely out of business for 30 days while they try to beg and plead the angry neighbors that this is going to be okay with them. Again, I thought they were very close to making a good choice. What they made is not a terrible choice because they didn't just deny it, but 30 days of more punishment for this company that hasn't done anything wrong, I don't think that was a good choice. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When was the last time you experienced something new, really new, like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs? Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID.4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth, aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek, you'll think you've driven into the future, and the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S, now from $24,999, the Tiguan S from $27,999, and the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI. Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at nervivehealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good drama.
Great look. Good drama.
Good drama.
Fine.
What happened to him?
He died. He died in a bizarre gardening accident.
Marked yourself safe from the fireball that hit Crestview last night. Holy smokes. Did you see the radar imagery of this storm that basically looked like it was a 20th level magic user wanted to attack the Arby's and the Walmart in Crestview? My God.
Oh, man.
Terrible storm. Like, I mean, you're watching this radar and you're like, what in the world? Because, you know, we were warned that there was a maybe danger for last night, and there could have been. Because when the emergency alert came on over the radio last night at like 9, it was, you know, everywhere but Pensacola. You know, it was Milton, it was Jay, it was Crestview, it was Fort Walton, it was Century. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know. And then you saw it on the radar, just an enormous ball of red on the screen with all of this lightning. And I don't know what level of damage there's been in Crestview, but I guarantee you it's not zero. Okay, so we'll find out later today, I'm sure. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There's some new reports out that say former President Donald Trump may have rejected a possible settlement with the Justice Department to avoid an indictment in the classified documents probe. The Washington Post says one of Trump's attorneys wanted to quietly negotiate a deal on the case, but they say former President Trump was not interested and wanted to fight the prosecution. Veterans suffering from PTSD would have access to experimental drug treatments under legislation promoted by a Texas Republican. That bill would create a $75 million federal grant program to support research into magic mushrooms and ecstasy. Some psychologists believe there's evidence those could be effective in treating depression and anxiety.
And this is where is this a proposal?
It's being proposed in Texas.
In Texas? In Texas?
Or, well, by a Texas legislator, anyhow.
But like, not a federal. This is a Texas state thing that they're trying to do.
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Okay, all right.
Was it Matthew McConaughey?
I don't know. It sounds kind of out there to me, but who knows?
Everybody loves redheads.
I love Texas, man. The stars at night.
Sudden migration into Texas.
That's right.
Lawmakers introducing a new bill as well to protect TikTok user information. Six senators and two members of the House of Representatives say the Chinese-owned app poses security risks to the data of Americans. The senators say the bill would stop the app from sending personal information back to China.
I mean, we seem to be doing, you know, anything that we can, basically, to handle all of this stuff with TikTok. David, thanks so much for the update.
I will see you there. All right.
Bye.
I love those redheads, man.
I know you.
5:20.
Best movie ever. Love Dazed and Confused.
5:29 here on News Radio 92.3, almost 5:30. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Bud Light is no longer the top-selling beer in the U.S.
It's Modelo.
But the weird thing is, you would have thought maybe it was going to be like a Miller product would be the second place. No, Modelo Especial. What now?
Who makes that?
Modelo.
Oh, that's its own brand. Yeah, is it good?
It's fine. It's, you know, it's a Mexican beer. I mean, it's just... Okay, so who knew they were in second place, you know? It's like the World Series, the second place team is the team, you know, that you never ever heard of. The Poughkeepsie, you know...
The Washington Generals. Sticks.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A Marine veteran who says he was protecting himself and other subway passengers and did not mean to kill a homeless man with a chokehold last month is indicted by a grand jury in Manhattan.
The indictment is under seal right now, but the Manhattan DA is expected to formally announce 24-year-old Daniel Penny's indictment later this morning. Penny has been out on a $100,000 bond after initially being charged by Manhattan prosecutors for second-degree manslaughter in the chokehold death of Jordan Neely.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. A parliamentary investigation in the UK finds former Prime Minister Boris Johnson deliberately misled Parliament about breaking COVID rules at his official office and residence.
This all concerns what the then Prime Minister said about lockdown breaching gatherings. The report says he should be suspended from Parliament for 90 days, but Johnson quit as an MP, having been tipped off about the findings.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Johnson has said he thought the parties were lawful work gatherings. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got 81 degrees. It's mostly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Special meeting being held today for the Milton City Council. They're going to narrow down the list of candidates to replace retiring city manager Randy Jorgensen. Mayor Heather Lindsay says it's one of the bigger decisions their council's going to make.
I have discussed with Mr. Eddy my top and asked him some questions. And I would encourage each of y'all to do the same.
That's Mayor Heather Lindsay there. And former Gulfbury City Manager Buzz Eddy's been serving as a consultant in this whole process. They're having a special meeting that'll start at 5:30. And they hope to get about 10 to 12 candidates to conduct their initial interviews for that position. Today at Pensacola State College's Milton campus, job seekers will have a chance to get noticed and possibly even hired on the spot.
A lot of times at these hiring events and job fairs, we have folks come in and they walk out with their paperwork for their background investigation or whatever the next step on and onboarding with the company.
And that's Bill Garner with Career Source Escarosa, who says representatives from about 50 different local employers are going to be on hand. And again, this is at the PSC Milton campus on Highway 90. The career fair going to start at 10 o'clock this morning. That'll go until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Job seekers are encouraged to dress for success and bring plenty of copies of their resume, although they do say computers and printers will be available at the job fair as well today. Pensacola's mayor was in Washington, D.C. He's working on securing funding for construction of a new airport terminal at the Pensacola International Airport. He wants the cost to be split three ways.
A third federal, a third from the state, and the city bonding a third of the airport. So, you know, this is one of those things where I'm very grateful it was an early priority to have design completed. And that we got the funding from FDOT, thankfully, right in the first couple months of the administration. But we don't want to get in our situation again where we got a design, it comes off the printer, and we've got no money, and we haven't started anywhere. So,
and Reeves says the work begins now to make sure that construction can begin as soon as designs for that new terminal are completed. He says the airport's got the same number of gates today it had a decade ago, but more than 1 million passengers per year more than it did. Well, another Floridian is throwing their name in the presidential race. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez filed papers yesterday. He wants to run for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024. It's the third GOP candidate from Florida, with former President Donald Trump, Governor DeSantis also running, of course. The 45-year-old Suarez expected to make a formal announcement on that today. It's 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
70% chance of showers and thunderstorms today. We are going to be seeing temperatures warm up near 89 degrees, low overnight near 76. Rain chance continues for your Friday with a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Friday night temperatures dropping near 76. Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, it's 81 and cloudy in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, and 74 still seeing some showers reported in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Join Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric is one of the least expensive hurricane protection systems available. It is strong and safe and defends against wind, water, and flying debris. The professionals from Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric will be here to take your calls and answer any questions you may have about protecting your home and family during a storm. That's today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Red Tail Live presents a multimedia experience that's out of this world. Laser Invasion. Suit up for a fantastical journey through the multimedia cosmos of our imagination, powered by a full battery of high-tech lasers, state-of-the-art lighting, out-of-this-world video, and concert-quality sound. Laser Invasion, featuring the music of David Bowie, Queen, The Police, Portishead, Soundgarden, and more.
Coming to the Sanger Theater on June 22nd. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Is your house making you sick? If you have high indoor humidity levels due to excess moisture, it could be. High humidity levels cause mold, mildew, and bacterial growth, among other things, and are very hazardous to your health. If you have condensation on your vents or windows, blistering paint, or cupping hardwood floors, it's time to call Southern Climate Solutions. They'll customize a permanent solution to control your indoor environment, eliminating the hazards of high humidity and excess moisture. Find them online at southernclimatesolutions.com.
You hear Andrew McKay and Dave Ramsey rave about Frontier Motors all the time. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Todd Gordon, General Manager of Frontier Motors, discusses what makes Frontier Motors a great place to buy a vehicle and why they provide a superb car buying experience. Have your questions ready to call or text today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Thursday. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, who is, again, in Washington, D.C., so it's the D.C. from D.C. show. D.C., welcome back to the program, sir.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, working hard up here, trying to do what we can to advocate for Pensacola.
What brings you to D.C. this time?
Well, really, it's twofold. I mean, one, obviously, is to continue to build relationships, still a new administration, and we want to make sure that we're active in Tallahassee and active in Washington about what the needs of the city are. And I guess from a more timely, topical standpoint, our kind of number one thing we're laying out, we were here all day yesterday, we'll be here until tonight, is getting ready for potential construction of the new airport terminal. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we really see the funding source really kind of being a third, which is a third federal, a third from the state, and the city bonding a third of the airport. So, you know, this is one of those things where I'm very grateful. It was an early priority to have design completed and that we got the funding from FDOT, thankfully, right in the first couple months of the administration. But we don't want to get in our situation again where where we got a design, it comes off the printer, and we've got no money, and we haven't started anywhere. So the work begins now to make sure that the second that that design comes off the printer or as close as possible, we could be rolling right into construction. So so it's a little bit of early planning, but it's necessary if we want to be able to, you know, as you know, we're bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
I mentioned in our press conference, it's crazy to think we have 11 gates 10 years ago. And we have 11 gates today, same exact size, except we have 1 million more passengers, 1 million annually. So it's time. And so I don't want there to be any more lag than there's already been in terms of trying to get the design funded.
Do you think
construction.
Do you think you're going to be able to get an additional parking structure also as part of this, or is that going to be on us to build? Because I know you and I talked about this last week, that just randomly on a Tuesday in June, all of a sudden you've got the overflow lot halfway filled.
Yeah, well, look, you know, first of all, we're trying to get some funding for some of the surface parking already that's not waiting on, you know, potential new construction. So
okay.
we're as proactive as we can be on that respect. What you would see, we met with FAA staff at their office yesterday, and we explained that we have a couple things that we had filed potential grants in January. There was a lot of sustainability, I guess, credit or points towards some of these grant applications. So a couple things we put in, for example, was a huge solar canopy that goes over one of the surface lots that could actually produce about 20% of the power that we use at the airport. So perfect, you know, we get shade, it's better parking, it's better for the citizens' vehicles, as well as being able to offset some costs with solar. So that's another, you know, it's about a $4 million-ish ask. And then we've got some other things, some HVAC and whatnot. But yeah, look, I think it's about a $70 million terminal, what we're looking at. And so that's not something that gets funded overnight.
Right.
So that's why we're here. We, you know, we want to be anticipatory for 2025, early 2025, and try to be ready to go.
I'm gonna suggest something that probably isn't useful, but just in case on the off chance it is, here goes. Our area is looking at as many as 4 parking structures by my count. Community Maritime Park, out on the beach, at the airport, and then there's kind of the on-again, off-again one down at Plaza de Luna on the east side there towards the ferry terminal. I don't know what opportunity there might be to get them budgeted or done as like a package deal from a company. But anyway, that was just the one thought, is maybe nobody had ever connected that. And, you know, in case that winds up being useful at some point, that was my one thought I just wanted to share. We're talking to Mayor D.C.
Go ahead. Andrew, I was going to say, hey, $18,000 a space is what it used to cost for structured parking 4 years ago. It's $34,000 now. So that, I mean, that's the other thing, is this is starting to have a real financial consequence, not only for a city, but for private development. And,
right.
And so I think synergy is even more valuable now, to your point, than it was 5 years ago.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You had a couple of very interesting proposals on the table. One is to put $3.5 million from the Escambia Children's Trust into a purchase and renovation of the Lakeview, Lifeview, Morris ED Activity Center, to devote it specifically to children like some other places around the state with their Children's Trust money have done, right?
That's right. Yeah, I feel really excited about this. Obviously, this has got to go to the trust. It's got to be approved. We understand that process. But we put a lot of legwork in thought and energy into, both at the city with Community Health as one of our partners, where they would have a pediatric clinic within this facility, as well as LifeView. This is not something they have to do. This was something that we approached them on. And as well as the Children's Trust certainly being partners in Escambia County. It's right. We really believe that geographically it's put in a great place, both at for the city and for the county.
Right next to Addicts Court, for people who aren't familiar. It's ideally demographic for the kinds of things the Children's Trust is supposed to be doing. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, and you look at all the, you know, census tracts and where the underserved community is, where people lack access to a car, and why would you, at its most simplistic scale, why would you want a facility like this? You want the ability, if a kid has an after-school program or a before-school program, they can get their checkup, their family can be part of that, and it truly becomes the wraparound that we talk about in so many other sectors. It's the wraparound service of saying, hey, we have this kid or this family who doesn't have access to a vehicle. Instead of hoping they come to us, we're trying to come to them, you know, and this is what that effort is. So this money would be to acquire the building from LifeView. The city would operate the facility, would own it. And we bring a lot to the table in terms of we've got the funnel of youth programs. You know, we can jump right in. It's got a gymnasium. So I really, really feel good about what we're putting forward. There's certainly significant dollars in the trust right now. And again, this is not unprecedented. That this is something that trusts have funded before in the state of Florida. So we'll cross our fingers but if it's approved or it's not approved, what I know is we certainly have put our best foot forward and we've given this a lot of thought and we've had a lot of important community partners be part of this.
And I certainly
idea. Really excited to see what happens.
And I certainly like the idea of taking the lessons learned and the successes had at C.A. Weiss, the community school, and taking those same concepts, just using them in a place that doesn't happen to be a school. I think it's a very, very interesting proposal. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. D.C., hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
And the good news is we're not showing any slowdowns or delays, really. There's an accident in J, but it looks like it has been moved off to the side. If you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Another proposal you've got out is to buy the Pensacola Motor Lodge and turn that into basically affordable housing, right? To renovate. This is not going to be cheap. I understand it's not in the greatest of conditions.
Exactly. Look, this is about $1 million investment into affordable housing. And, I've said over the months, whether it be different initiatives, is that we say in affordable housing, you have to be nimble. We have to be able to be proactive, which we have been. We called about several different hotels that could be multi-unit affordable housing that see if we could get online. And this is one that came through first. We'll continue to do that and look for those opportunities. But at the end of the day, 30 units that regardless of the state that they're in is about $33,000 a unit. You can't build anything anywhere close to that, maybe even the studs for that.
Yeah, even tiny homes are more than that, right?
Correct. So we're going to get in there and we got 90 days of due diligence. We're going to get in there and see what kind of condition. Obviously, if there's something that makes this not be able to work, we'll adjust from there. But the vote was to make sure that we were authorized to have the funds. We've agreed on price. There's been some communication back and forth from the seller about length of due diligence and, when money goes non-refundable and some things like that. But we should be able to work through all of that. And my hope is the city's not trying to get into the landlord business. That's not what we want to do. What we want to do is let's take a place that has 30 units and let's find an operator who does this for a living and a nonprofit. And there's plenty of these all over the country that do exactly this, not just that they go rehab units, that they rehab hotels. And let's find, they'll know certainly a lot more about the insights and how it could be best used better than I will. And so we'll listen to what those proposals are, and we're willing to put the property up partially, totally, based on what they're going to provide to the city and provide to our community. So I think we're open-minded about the type of affordable housing. I've gotten that question a lot. Is it going to be homeless transitional? Yeah. Is it going to be 30% AMI? I think we're going to let the folks who know this well look at what we have in front of us and dictate from there. So
that makes sense.
But regardless, it, not only is it the win here, but also from a public safety standpoint. This has been a property with 2,100 service calls the last 10 years. I believe we've had 13 violent crimes the last 26 months. So there's value built into the fact of just getting this acquired and decreasing the labor and the ability for our police department to be working other situations and keeping people safe.
I mean, all of that. I think that all makes
double win here. Yeah.
And one thing,
so we're excited to see what happens. Yeah.
Just it's a smaller note, but I just want to make sure we make it because I don't ever get to say these words. The railroad company said yes to something. the expansion of the Bayou Tahar boardwalk. They've agreed to this, right?
Yeah, I had to read it twice myself. A new acquisition by Rail USA, a guy named Ryan Ratledge, and this is, again, why you try. It's why you're in Washington, D.C. You try to stay busy and stay active building relationships. This is solely out of the discussions and meetings with Rail USA about Amtrak, where the ownership of their rail starts just west of the current, the city's train station.
Right? Okay.
It's obviously not being used that way. They own it from there all the way east to Jacksonville. So they acquired it, and we started to have conversations about partnering together on Amtrak. And it's one of those things came across. I give Brad and Public Works a lot of credit. They're like, hey, if you're starting to build a good positive relationship with them, this came up 5 years ago. You know, are you willing to run this to see what they say? And that's what we did. So it's, being resourceful about something that died on the vine about 4 or 5 years ago because of difficulties with the previous owner. And, you know, so Brian, the CEO, gave him a ton of credit, said, hey, if it's good for the community, we'll look at it. They did. And their team got with our team. And so the big hurdle is now complete. That's okay with us going ahead and moving forward. So the timeline will be, we're looking at a holistic approach for Wayside. We've got a seawall to fix. We've got parking lot post, 3 mile bridge construction to fix. So we're trying to not piecemeal that too much in terms of trying to be synergistic saving costs. But nonetheless, that is huge for us. If you've ever been down there, I mean, there are families, bikes, you know, that are going out under the graffiti bridge. That's the only way to
get
through.
It's a terribly unsafe scenario. It's exactly right.
No question. So, I mean, you think about how many homes in the city, East Pensacola Heights, East Hill, all these neighborhoods with tons of families, tons of people living, that is the most efficient way to get down to the waterfront, and that's just not good enough. So,
no, it's not. And connectivity is going to be great. Now, kudos to you. I mean, that's a huge just to be able to say we built a relationship and got a yes out of the railroad. That's fantastic. The lightning round we always like to end with. First question for you is, when you go into a store, do you like or dislike having somebody say, hi, can I help you?
I actually like it. Go ahead and get it out of the way so you don't scare me, you know, whenever I'm in, like, aisle two, you know, right behind my shoulder.
So, all right. Yeah. Second question, like, is Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak is retiring. Would you consider the job?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. There's a lot of disingenuous host type attitude you have to have. I don't know.
Always smile and nod and don't say anything insulting, right? That's the job.
Right. But you do that now.
He does. That's the job of a diplomat, right? All right, last one. This is going to be our frivolous.
I'm genuinely always like that.
See, there you go. That's right.
I mean, he's like that now.
Okay, last one. This is going to be our frivolous topic for the day later. What was the first movie you watched that was like kind of, you know, the R adult, had some content in it that you can remember? What was DC's first that movie?
Vividly remember this. My stepbrother was 8 years older, and my dad somehow, I must have been 10 or 11, it brought me to see White Men Can't Jump. I remember this in the movie theater. Absolutely. Wow.
All right.
I was definitely too young to see that movie. I don't remember. Maybe I was 10 or 11. My stepbrother was 19. He was more of the age that would enjoy that movie. But I remember watching this, and I was like, there's no way my dad wanted me to see this movie. There's no way.
Two points for Rosie Perez.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow, you really got something there, right? All right, very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, have a productive rest of your trip in Washington, D.C., and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. As always, thank you for the time, sir.
All right, Candy, Andy, thank you so much.
Yes!
Just why?
I made it!
Just why?
This is the Candy and Andy Show.
The Candy and Andy Show. All right, that's fine. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
And I'm Candy.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT impact-resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now, through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WinGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to pgtwindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Well, I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume from 9 to 11.
Hey, you! Watch this!
I think it's somebody else. But I know the song. I can't.
The beat.
The beat.
Or just beat. I think there's no the in there, but
that's right.
Whatever. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3.
English beat.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway, beat is the primary noun.
Beat.
5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local. We argue about music. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The man accused in the chokehold death on a New York subway has now been indicted by a grand jury. Daniel Penny was indicted yesterday on second-degree manslaughter charges for the death of Jordan Neely, the former Marine accused of using a chokehold on him as he was allegedly threatening riders. And I've got a clarification on that story we were just discussing about the bill that would provide veterans suffering from PTSD with the new experimental treatment of magic mushrooms and ecstasy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is a Texas state legislation. It was signed off by Governor Greg Abbott. They're going to be studying the risks and the benefits of using those substances to treat PTSD. But the interesting part is I just did some more research on it. There was a study that came out here just a few weeks ago that showed 67% of people that were treated with ecstasy-assisted psychotherapy had so much relief from their PTSD symptoms, they didn't even meet the criteria for having it.
Wow, that's amazing. But, I mean, it's a good reminder that, you know, something that could sound absurd in terms of medical terms,
right,
might actually work. I mean, think about,
well,
like, Ritalin is basically amphetamines, right? I mean, Ritalin is basically a massive stimulant.
Yeah.
But given the brain structure and the body chemistry of the people who suffer from ADHD, it works to produce, you know, or can work to produce an effect that in a normal person would not, you know, produce that effect. So, kudos to them for studying it and finding something that apparently, if that's accurate, you know, has a tremendous value to it. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, by the way, I did do a quick look, Candy. Mm-hmm. It is the beat or the English beat or just English beat. Pick your name. Any
you.
Of them will do, but not madness. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, UWF is starting a graduate program in sports administration this year. Like, they're standing this up in the fall. That's kind of cool.
They don't have a sports program.
Well,
I'm totally kidding. Dude.
Thank you.
I'm totally kidding.
It's a master's of science and administration with a specialization in sports administration. It's going to prepare, they say, their PR release says, the master's degree will prepare students for careers in the growing global sports market through business management fundamentals, sports-focused courses, emphasizing marketing analytics, emerging technology, sustainability, wagering, and esports. So, you know, how data works, real-life settings, all, just cool. Just another addition to the local educational alternatives. 5:58. What else do we have going on? In a small little enclave around Detroit, or actually inside Detroit, I think because they're surrounded by Detroit, if I remember correctly, you've got a city council that has now voted to ban the rainbow flag on public property. They've Hamtramck City Council, which, by the way, side note, is an all-Muslim city council. This is one of the little Muslim enclaves, like Dearborn's another one in the Detroit area. So they said that there's only 5 flags allowed to be flown on, again, public property, like at City Hall, that kind of thing. You know, the U.S. flag, the Michigan flag, and there's one for the native countries of the immigrant residents that are most populous in that area. But basically, the all-Muslim council said that the pride flag clashes with the beliefs of too many members of the faith. And so now businesses and residents, of course, are perfectly fine on their own property.
it's an interesting note, something that a lot of conservative Christians don't ever quite grasp in their opposition to Islam, is that conservative Muslims, conservative Jews, and conservative Christians are all very, very tight, at least in terms of the moral, social, cultural beliefs that we hold.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.